You are listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Harry Benson made his name as one of the world's most renowned photographers when he documented the early antics of the Beatles, which includes those famous images of their pillow fight in a Paris hotel room, their first trip to the United States in 1964, and the time they joked around with Muhammad Ali in a Miami boxing gym. After that, Mr. Benson became a favorite among American magazine editors for his candid manner of celebrity portraiture and also for his approach to photojournalism, all of which is covered in a documentary called Harry Benson, Shoot First. It's directed by Justin Baer and Matthew Miele and opens at the IFC Center today. It's also available on demand on Amazon Video and on iTunes. And it is my great pleasure now to welcome Harry Benson and Matthew Miele to our show. Hello.
Hi. Thank you.
Harry, although you're from Glasgow, Scotland, didn't your career really begin on London's Fleet Street?
Well, you know, I don't want to, you know, sell Glasgow short. There were some things I did in Glasgow that are in the documentary, are in books I do.
Well, how early were you photographing professionally?
Oh,
how young were you?
Oh, no, every time I took a camera out, even if I was photographing a wedding, that is professional. Mm-hmm. I tell young photographers that, you know, it's welcome to the big time.
Well, the reason I mentioned Fleet Street is it has a reputation for being very competitive, and
yes.
I would assume that you developed some of your skills for getting the right picture simply because you had to survive.
Oh, no question about it. And there were good photographers, great photographers there. You know, it was rough. And at the end of the day, you knew that you might not have done so well. And the Daily Mirror or the Mail or the Times might have really kicked you hard.
And you worked for all of the papers?
No, just the Sketch. Mm-hmm. Which was part of the Daily Mail family, and the Express, which I went to. And
how did you wind up shooting those famous photographs of the Beatles? They weren't really famous yet.
Well, I knew about them. I was home one night in New York.
You'd already moved to New York at that point?
Oh, what the shit? Yeah, in London.
Uh-huh.
Oh, please, this is a wife will kill me for that. I was home in London. Late at night, the phone goes. And they said to me, we'd like you to go to Paris in the morning with the Beatles. And I told them I was going to Africa, that I had all my shots. I was going to do a story on the independence a year later, Uhuru. And in Kenya, Uganda, Tanganyika, all that. And
former British colonies.
Yes. No,
they were becoming independent.
Yes. And how they were getting on. And it was a clever, you know, it was a story I was looking forward to. And they said, okay, Harry, you go to Africa. Put down the phone. 5 minutes later, I get a call, and it was, Harry, you're going to Paris. The editor says you're going to Paris.
So you really were reluctant to do it, but that was, of course, a great moment, a great time for you.
No, I wasn't reluctant. You do what you're told. And, you know, and joined up with the Beatles. Not that happy, but I was doing it.
And you seem to have been given complete behind-the-scenes access. Were they happy with that?
Very, because we weren't infected by public relations people then. Mm-hmm. The Beatles ran themselves. They were basically three of them really knew their way around. Mm-hmm. Like I'm talking about John, George, Paul.
Mm-hmm. And Ringo played the drums.
And Ringo played the drum. That's about it.
Now, so that began before their first trip to the United States, and then you took those pictures as well. Did their success and those images change everything for you?
Yes, it did. Yeah, it did, because people liked them having a pillow fight, and that came about because I was in the room one night and one of them said, that was some pillow fight we had the other night. And I thought, well, that's not a bad picture. But there was a problem to it. There was a photographer from the Daily Mail there who was in great competition with me. And I thought, I hope he hasn't caught this. Anyway, two nights later, after they did their gig at the and on the Madeleine, I asked them. But then just about that time, Brian Epstein comes in with good news. We're number one in America. I want to hold your hand. Happy, very happy. And also, he's got more good news. We're on the Ed Sullivan Show. They're going to America. And so was I. Hmm. And it was a good night for a pillow fight.
Matthew, were you aware of how many really famous photographs were the work of this one man when you and Justin Bear first met him?
No. In fact, when we were interviewing him for a separate film, we knew he was a great storyteller. We knew he was a photographer. We didn't know the extent at which his portfolio goes on and on. I mean, he's someone who you are, I think, a little arrested by his humility when it comes to how much he has photographed.
Well, when you look at the list, not just the Beatles, then also Winston Churchill, Muhammad Ali, Michael Jackson, Martin Luther King, Robert F. Kennedy, Frank Sinatra, Jack Nicholson, Jackie Kennedy, Nelson Mandela, the Clintons, nearly every American president since Eisenhower, and Donald Trump over the past 40 years or so.
Yeah, no question. In fact, when we wanted to obviously interview a lot of subjects that Harry has photographed, I mean, the tagline on him is, who hasn't he photographed? I mean, it's, you can kind of go down that list and keep going. So when we went out for the interviews, I will say that he has photographed the Clintons as much as Trump over the years. And unfortunately, Hillary said no to our request, but Donald said yes. Obviously, that was kind of a hint at his, you know, media-loving prowess. And we got him in 2014 before he announced his candidacy.
But, Harry, didn't you say as early as 2013, I wouldn't be surprised if he ran for president?
Yes, I did.
Did he drop hints?
Yes, I did. In fact, I said in a magazine that he should run for president because he was always hinting at it, you know. And also, it was good for our business to have some, being a photographer and a writer, you give them a story every day.
And you wound up taking one of the photographs of him holding $1 million in cash,
yes.
Probably more than he actually has. But that's a whole other matter. my guests are...
He got in trouble for that.
Yeah, when he becomes president, he might
have
me fired. Not yet.
Not yet.
Harry Benson, Shoot First is the name of the film, directed by Justin Bear and Matthew Miele. And Harry Benson and Matthew Miele are here. We're talking about this incredible career, but it also includes famous shots taken in war zones, images of starving children in a refugee camp in Mogadishu that helped bring Somalia's famine to the attention of the world, shots from the civil rights movement, the KKK rallies, and you were there when the Berlin Wall went up, and then when it came down. Were all of these done on assignment?
Yes. Yeah, everyone, yes.
Were you surprised as a filmmaker at the range?
I was not only surprised, but when you actually understand what we couldn't include in the film, it's kind of an awful thought, because he has filing cabinets in his apartment that have negatives after negatives of his career. He doesn't even really understand what's in there.
And the film is chock full of Harry's photographs, but some of them flash by rather quickly. You say, well, wait. I think I know that picture.
Yeah. I would have loved to have held on them. Justin, my co-director, and I always had that discussion, like, how long should we hold? Because we have so many to get through. We have 90 minutes. It's a 60-year career. it's so, you know, it's hard to fly past them.
Harry, you say in the film, a great photograph can never happen again. And many of these photographs capture decisive moments we associate with the work of people like Henri Cartier-Bresson or Robert Frank and Helen Levitt. But aren't many of the celebrity photos posed?
I'll put it this way. I was never particularly happy doing celebrities. I wanted to do news. I mean, the civil rights, the IRA, the race riots. I covered, you know, that time every Friday night. You would hear on the radio or the television that police have been called to a certain area of Cleveland, and that went on.
And you just went there.
I went there, yes, and that was what I wanted to do, you know.
But people did give you access. You shot the famously reclusive Bobby Fischer, even let you shoot him nude in the shower. Uh-huh. Michael Jackson allowed you into his Neverland bedroom. And then Elizabeth Taylor, you photographed her before and after her brain surgery. We see her with her hair shaved off. They just let you do that?
I'm very charming. No, with Elizabeth Taylor, I knew her. I photographed her in London because in London she was in and out the London Clinic. And then she had that problem with Richard Burton and Eddie Fisher. Mm-hmm. When she was making Cleopatra, and then the Pope came out and said this was disgusting. So when the Pope says it, you know that's going to fill Rome with every freak street.
So you grab your camera and run there.
Yes,
now, Matthew, you didn't ignore some of the more controversial aspects of this story, like when Harry took some playful portraits of Mark David Chapman, who killed John Lennon. There was the People magazine photograph of Deborah Norville breastfeeding her baby. That probably cost her her job as the on the Today Show. And the first photographs of Bobby Kennedy's assassination at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, which includes a shot of Ethel Kennedy huddling over his body, and she looks both shocked and angry as she reaches up to block Harry's camera.
Yeah, I mean, it's really astonishing when you take a look at the breadth of work. And what's so interesting about it is that, you know, we're living in an age of photography now. Everyone seems to have a camera. Everyone's on Instagram. I call it the I generation in a sense because it's the age of the selfie, etc. But, you know, photography to me, when it comes to Harry, his access, like, try to get a picture of Michael Jackson in his bedroom. It's not going to happen. Obviously not anymore. He's deceased. But the point is, during the time, no one's getting in there. It takes a certain manipulation and charm that Harry has, a very delicate balance of it, to get in there.
He's also probably competitive with the Beatles. Well, so it was amazing he didn't have a pillow fight.
Well, that's the other part, is that he wanted to take a picture with Harry because he photographed the Beatles. So he saw Harry as famous as well. So I think there's a certain degree of a give and take there.
Well, sure, but it also is who I'm carrying in my back pocket. Life magazine had a lot of weight with people because it didn't have an angle. It was straightforward photography.
Would you describe yourself as a workaholic? Your daughter, the actress Wendy Benson, remarks in the film that for you, work always came first.
Well, it was hard to get started, And I was angry because other photographers were moving, and I wasn't. I was still doing weddings, and so you always thought when the door opened for me, I'm going through it. And I always tried to be first in and first out, you know, because. And last out could mean you're going to get a better picture than who. Does that make sense?
Sure. You're 86 now, and you have no intention
87,
of.
87.
Oh, 87?
Yesterday. So, you know,
yesterday. So happy birthday.
I've got to live with it.
You have any intention of stopping?
No. I mean, I follow a camera. If I'm asked to do something, I'll do it.
Yeah, that seems to be the thing. Yeah, he was away from his family, but it's because I think the assignments were pretty irresistible. I mean, if you're asked to do some of the things that he's done, you kind of want to go.
And I forgot to mention before you go that Harry was appointed commander of the Order of the British Empire in the 2009 New Year orders, taken pictures of the Queen a number of times, younger and older.
Well, I mean, I wish I got the commander when I was 21, but I know I'm the only one in my school that ever got it. And I was asked to leave the place at 13. And so there is a bit of look back in anger, you know, that I'd rather have gone to the metal shop.
So do you think that because you left school at 13 and had to go out and make a living, that that was one of the things that drove you to succeed?
No, photography was fun. And I was and growing up in the war, where any visuals you would have, and we got bombed, and my father was on duty the night they brought in Rudolf Hess, Deputy Führer, and went up and saw the crashed plane. So it's a drama I know has never left me.
Harry Benson Shoot First is opening at the IFC Center today. It's also available on demand on Amazon Video and on iTunes. And my great thanks to Harry Benson and Matthew Miele, one of the directors of the film, for coming on our show today.
Thank you.
It's an honor. Thank you.